Matthew 11:2-11. Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." And as these were going away, Jesus began to speak to the multitudes about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of John the Baptizer. And thank you, Lord, that we hear the message that he gave. We're reminded by Jesus of who he is, who John is, and what he came to do. And that is to point people and to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah, that is Jesus the Christ. Lord, help us to believe these words. Help us to share these good words with others that need to be reminded or need to have their attention brought and directed to Jesus as the Messiah. Lord, may we imitate John's example and point people to Christ as you give us opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about John the Baptizer and his ministry and some of the things that he was doing. Again, we focus on John, but not to stop at John, but to see what it was that John was pointing to, or who it was to whom John pointed. And John pointed to Jesus. John pointed to Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the very Son of God. In chapter 11, verse 1, a verse that we didn't read here, but we have this transition. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. He went out to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. And he sent his disciples ahead of him into the various cities to prepare people, even as John prepared the people and their hearts for the coming of Jesus the Messiah. As we look at verses 2 through 4, we see that Jesus tells John about the Christ. That is, he was speaking of himself. John sent his disciples to hear and to ask some questions. We look at the circumstances in verses 2 and 3. What were the circumstances? John was imprisoned. Again, he didn't do anything wrong. He spoke the truth of God's word and was punished for that. And eventually, he was martyred for his preaching of the word of God and his faith in the coming Messiah. John was imprisoned. He heard of the works of Christ, and he sent his messengers to ask some questions of Jesus. The question we see in verse 3, he said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? And you might be thinking, well, John, he was there, he baptized Jesus, he heard the voice of the Father, he saw the Holy Spirit descend in the form of the dove. He's the one that was pointing people to Jesus. He's the one that said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And now John kind of lost his faith. And certainly there's a possibility John, in that discouraging situation, was having some doubts and struggles. Certainly possible. I think it's more likely that John, even as he was during his whole ministry, he was pointing his disciples to Jesus. So he sent his disciples to ask of Jesus, "Are you the one that was expected, or should we look to someone else?" And Jesus didn't answer directly that question, but he answered by quoting from and referring to Isaiah 35 and also Isaiah 61. Jesus responds in verses 4 and 5. He told John's disciples to report what they saw and heard. And what were those things? And if you remember our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 35, the reminder that in the desert it would bloom again, The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer. And then the talk of the highway of holiness. The things that Jesus told John's disciples to report were that the blind receive sight. Again, think of this in the sense of looking and compiling the evidence in a situation, looking at the facts and saying, what are the conclusions based on these facts? So Jesus didn't come out and say openly, I am the Messiah, I am the expected one, but he gave evidence for John's disciples to ponder, to think about, to report back to John, and I believe for John to say, well, what does all these things connecting together, these dots, what conclusion do you come to? The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61. Let me read this passage from where he's quoting it and how he applies it to himself. Luke chapter 4, 17 through 21. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus said those prophecies that Isaiah gave hundreds of years before were about him, that he truly was the Messiah. And again, Jesus speaking about John's disciples and all who were influenced by John. In verse 6, whom did Jesus declare to be a blessed one, those blessed by God? He said, blessed is he who does not take offense at me, or literally the one that's not scandalized because of me. Those who were following John, who were baptized unto a repentance for the forgiveness of sins. They were being prepared for the coming of the Messiah. And when the Messiah steps on the scene, Jesus said, they are truly blessed if they're not scandalized by Jesus being the Messiah. They don't lose what they had started with hearing and believing the message of John. Then as the disciples go back to report to John what Jesus said to them, Jesus tells the crowd about John in verses 7 through 11. He asked a few questions. He asked, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Something that is blown around by every wind of the times? Think of, again, I'm not getting too political here, but if you think of most politicians, their convictions might last as long as the preference of our country. They kind of take a check to see which way the wind is blowing. Well, I'm against that too. Or people are in favor of something. Well, yeah, I've always been in favor of that, even though my voting record shows me that I haven't. John's not like that. Not saying, well, if the people really want to hear this message, then I'll share it. But if they don't, well, I don't want to offend anyone. John wasn't afraid of offending people. He was calling them to repentance and faith in the coming Messiah. Jesus asked further, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing. Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. The soft and comfortable clothing would be a sign of wealth. John the Baptizer was wearing camel's hair. Not anything fancy at all. No, they didn't go out to see a rich and powerful man. Did they go out to see a prophet? Jesus asked, but what did you go out to see, a prophet? Of course, the answer is yes. Yes, John truly was a prophet. The last of the Old Testament prophets and the transition between the Old and the New Covenant. The one predicted in the end with the warning that whoever does not listen to him, God will strike the land with a curse. What truth did Jesus declare to the crowds about John in verses 10 through 11? Not only was he a prophet, but Jesus said he was more than a prophet. He was more than a prophet. Why? Because he was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. God the Father speaking to God the Son through the prophet Isaiah, predicting that John the Baptist would be sent ahead of Jesus to prepare his way. And Jesus said, now this has been fulfilled in the person of John. He's the one that you've been waiting for. He's the one that you've been anticipating. And the importance of John is not John himself, but who he points to, who he prepares people for. In verse 11, Jesus compares the greatness of John with that of others. What did he say? He talked about the greatness of John the Baptizer. Among those born of women, there's not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. John was greater than all the other prophets that went before him. And again, why was he so great? Because what they looked at from a distance, he was able to see up close. And he was able to say not just, he will come someday, but he can say he's here. And he's ready, and he's coming, and called people to repentance and faith in him. But Jesus went on to say something that's kind of unusual. As great as John was, he said, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven, the one who might look at himself or herself and say, well, I'm not much, I'm not very gifted, I'm not very talented, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. John was there to prepare the way, and the way has come. Jesus is the way. He is the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. These verses are not included in our reading for today, but let me conclude this morning with the verses from 12 through 15. We see Jesus warning in verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. And you can understand this. It's a difficult verse, but you can understand it either in the sense of those who are wanting to get into God's kingdom are wanting to very desperately, and they're clinging to that promise and those truths. That's a possible interpretation. I believe another interpretation that's probably better to understand is that the kingdom of heaven has a lot of opposition. People fight against the kingdom of heaven, and as people come into the kingdom of heaven, sometimes it's their own family that rejects them. Literally around the world, for many people who come dependent in faith in Christ, their family rejects them. You're not part of our family anymore. We won't remember your birthday. We won't celebrate it. You don't share meals with us anymore. It's a cutting off even from those closest to them, sometimes their family and friends. If we look through church history, we see Christianity going through many, many difficult struggles around the world. Sometimes less, sometimes more. But there's always been opposition. There have always been even those from within the visible church that say, you believe the word of God? Why do you do that? That's silly. We know better from our culture around us. We know better from science. Even in the visible church, sometimes people who have a high view of Scripture, that understand that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone, they're mocked and made fun of and rejected. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. And then we have the transition in 13 and 14. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you were willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. Elijah was predicted in the Old Testament that he would come again before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Some people look at that as it's yet to be fulfilled yet in the future. But the words of Jesus saying, John is the fulfillment of that, if you are able and willing to receive it. And then in verse 15, what exhortation is given? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the question for each one of us is, not only do you have physical ears, but you have ears to hear the truth of God's word. Do you hear the message of John the Baptizer, who pointed not to himself, but to Jesus? Called people to turn from their sins, to be baptized, to follow and trust in Jesus all the days of their life. John talked about himself as a voice calling in the wilderness. But the voice, that message is still proclaimed to us each time, each Advent season, as we go through this series of passages. We hear of John's ministry. We hear of John preparing God's people for the coming of the Messiah. Let me ask today, do you have ears to hear? Have you heard the words of John preparing the way, calling people to turn from their sin, to not trust in what they have done or their heritage at all, but to come in humility and in faith in Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the only Savior for our sins. Jesus, the Messiah, the expected one, the one predicted so clearly in the Old Testament prophets, and the one to whom we wait. In the first Advent, we recognize and celebrate His first coming, but we see Him, that He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And each one of us are called to be ready, to be prepared, to repent and to trust in God's only way of salvation, so that when He comes back again, we have no fear of condemnation, but only comfort from the good news of the gospel. Assurance that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.